we should be looking at anybody as an opportunity to train. We should be making sure we're removing barriers. We think education is the great equalizer. I say it to my team all the time, and we need to figure out how do you think about serving up education.
This is Can Do, a podcast that explores the business lessons essential for success in these volatile times. Can Do shares the insights of industry experts, along with the experiences and advice of local businessmen and businesswomen. Whether you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, or your career is affected by the current economic climate, these lessons will give you the guidance you need to make informed decisions about your future. I'm your host, Arnie Sherman. Representing 10% of the U.S. economy and 8% of its workforce, technology is America's fastest growing economic sector. And just like every other part of the economy, it has not escaped the COVID-19 pandemic unharmed. 12 million jobs have been disrupted by many factors, including the quick shift to remote working and vastly reduced business development travel and direct client engagement. One immediate need is proper training, with 87% of technology employers saying they can't find workers with the skills they need. To discuss these current issues and possible solutions, we are joined today by Maureen Lonergan, Director of Global Training and Certification for Amazon Web Services, or AWS. Maureen has worked in IT training for 25 years and believes education to be the great equalizer. Together with her team, Maureen develops training certifications for cloud-based technology, offering tech employees valuable instruction on applicable information. AWS currently offers 12 certification programs on subjects that range from machine learning to data analytics. Beyond the certifications, AWS also offers over 500 free digital courses and shares its training content with more than 1,000 universities. What are the skills major tech companies are looking for in their workforce? What do businesses get for their investment in employee training? What type of workforce are we imagining for our economy a decade from now? This and much more on today's episode of Can Do. Support for this episode of Can Do is provided by the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives. Additional support comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, a regional law firm with national expertise representing the interests of Montana entrepreneurs and businesses. More information at parsonbailey.com. Maureen, welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having me.
So can you tell us a little about your background and the role you play at AWS?
Yeah, so I've been working for IT companies kind of for the last 25 years doing some form of technical education. About 8.5 years ago, I joined AWS to lead the team there and build out their education programs for their customers. And then that's kind of evolved and rolled into a much broader set of training. So our customers, our partners, academia, we do some programs for underserved communities. It's the greatest job in the world.
What is it like being head of global training and certification for a large company like AWS in the midst of a global pandemic and economic downturn?
It's a challenge, right? Our customers, everybody's challenge, right? A lot of people, most people are working remotely. Our training business was, 50% of it was done in person. And, we do have a large digital component, online component. We had to pivot really rapidly to virtual capabilities for both our instructor-led training and our certification. We're very lucky. We have great partners and we could pivot really, really rapidly. And I think what we've found is people are very receptive. They're at home and they're looking to hone their skills, whether they're a customer or if they're just someone in the industry that's looking to modernize their skills or learn a new technology. It offers actually a more flexible option for individuals to complete training.
A lot of your training, or maybe most of your training, is around the cloud. Can you explain to a layperson, or some people in our listening audience are laypeople, what is the cloud?
Yeah, sure. The term cloud computing refers to on-demand delivery of IT resources via the internet, essentially a pay-as-you-go pricing. Instead of buying or owning or maintaining your own data centers or servers, organizations can acquire technology such as compute power, storage, databases, other services needed when they need it. It's kind of similar to how consumers flip a switch on to turn the light on their home, and the power company sends the electricity and you only pay for what you use. So with cloud computing, AWS manages and maintains the technology and infrastructure in a secure environment, and businesses access these resources via the internet to develop their own applications on top of our services.
And why has cloud skills education become so important now?
Well, I think, cloud technology is highly innovative and companies are moving at a rapid pace. And, you know, companies really need to modernize their IT team's skills. So someone who is a traditional database administrator is going to need very different skills in supporting the cloud. And so we work to modernize an individual's skills there. We're also facing, you know, a huge cloud skills shortage. Companies are moving rapidly because they see the benefits of being able to optimize the services, being able to innovate. And due to that, we're having to look at all avenues to train people, whether it's people at companies, people through universities, you know, really anybody's an opportunity to develop. So it's exciting to be part of this.
Most of the general public's experience with Amazon is either purchasing something online or watching video. So how does AWS fit into the overall Amazon corporate architecture?
I mean, it's a line of business, just like, you know, any of the other businesses that they do it. You know, Amazon saw a need in the market for cloud services and developed it. So it's just like any other business in Amazon, focused on supporting our customers and providing services that they need.
And who is your typical student for training and certification?
You know, when I first started, it was really focused on our customers, right? We were a new organization and we wanted to develop education that helped them see the outcomes that they needed for the services that they were purchasing. You know, and obviously we have partners in our ecosystem that need training as well. But as we look at it, we just talked about the huge cloud skills gap. My team's really looking at who's a potential candidate for technology training, cloud training. And we really look at it, anyone, you know, that could be possible. So we're working with universities to get our education into the same training that we provide to our customers, into our universities, such that universities are training students to come out with a much needed skill in the marketplace. It's great for the student. It's great for the university. But we're also, you know, really focused on how do we take the technology and our builders culture and help communities that need it, underserved communities. So today we just announced that we're going to go into 5 cities with a program called Restart. And that's, we have partnerships with organizations in these communities to identify people that need cloud skills or looking to transition from, you know, something that's non-tech into tech. And we ramp them up and then help pair them with companies for employment.
So that's a retraining program for folks who are looking, you know, through the window from the outside at technology and saying, I'd love to be able to be part of this, but I don't have the skills. This is going to focus on bringing people in from other disciplines.
For sure. I mean, we've had baristas, people that were trainers, you know, physical trainers, you know, kind of all walks of life. I think it's no secret that education is can be very expensive, right? And it's limiting for some people. And we believe that if we can give them foundational level training and start them on this journey, you know, they can continue to learn and grow into these roles. And it helps them, but it really does help our customers. That program is also very focused on diversity. You know, we have diverse customers and we want to build a pipeline of cloud talent that is diverse, that is a set of diverse builders. And that's, you know, all of our programs are quite frankly designed that way. How do we get the most diverse individuals into training such that we have diversity of thoughts as we're developing our technology, our programs, you know, helping our customers be successful?
As we look at that diversity, we are also focusing on ensuring that women have a pathway into the training and minorities have a pathway into the training?
We ran a pilot with a partner organization, and the president of that particular company was looking at the statistics within his organization and realized that women really weren't pursuing technical education when men had the opportunity. And so we worked with them, came out of just a casual dinner and with one of the women that was at an event. And she said, I really believe that we can do this. And so we worked with them over a 4 or 5 month period and ramped up I think we had 700, over 700 women participate and 500 get certified. So in a COVID world, it's been particularly challenging to do things like that. But it's interesting to see that women were really gravitating towards completing that program, even though they had their jobs, they were often homeschooling their children, you know. So we're going to continue to look at programs like that and make sure whether it's women or people of color, people that did have access to education, whatever it is, right? We want to make sure we provide opportunities for anyone who's interested in training.
And the certification that they get is a certification for what?
Well, it depends. We have, you know, certification is a long process that we go through. It's highly vetted and goes through psychometric analysis, and we use an outside firm to, you know, help us vet the questions. But what it does is it validates the skill sets of people that have taken training. Now, they may have taken training with us. They could have taken it from another company. They may have used self-study. You know, learning's changing and everybody approaches it differently. But what we tell our customers is that it's a way to identify someone who has validated skill sets. So, you know, whether it's AI ML or databases or, you know, just a role-based solution architecture role, it's an easy way for customers to find people in the industry to help them as they're recruiting.
Many businesses have been sucker punched by the dual problem of COVID-19 and an economic downturn, economic recession. And as they're looking at their budgets and making, you know, internal decisions about spending resources, what do businesses get for their investment in training?
We're seeing companies, and we're seeing a lot of companies train not, you know, 10, 15, 20, but hundreds or even thousands of individuals within an organization. I think what they get is they start to build the learning into the DNA of the company and culture of learning. And this becomes incredibly important as the technology is evolving so rapidly. You know, when we talk to customers, we recommend that they build this continuous learning culture and build lifelong learners. And we've done this with several notable organizations. National Australia Bank, we've been working with, you know, for a couple of years, and they're continuing to invest in training. They've trained over 5,000 people and certified over 1,500. And through that process, you know, in Australia, it was very, as you can imagine, banking, more traditional company, not a startup where people that are in technology want to go. They've actually not only been able to reduce their attrition rate from 20% to 8%, but they've also become a really important and prominent employer in the marketplace and have been able to attract more talent. And so I think there are benefits to investing in training in the time and creating that culture. I think having someone on point, a leader that's kind of living and breathing that every day is super important. We also had Kmart Group in Australia. Their chief technology officer, Michael Fagan, he's been such a huge advocate for what the investments that they've made in training and the benefits that they have seen. You know, they trained their entire staff and had even their executive assistants go through training and certification. And he said it's just created a more exciting place to work and they understand and appreciate the value to their business. So it's been exciting to work with companies like that.
And that sort of is counterintuitive in some ways to sort of this visceral reaction that some business people have. I'm going to train my person and he's going to leave and go somewhere else. This turns into an investment that keeps them from doing that.
For sure. You know, and I get that a lot. Like, I don't want to, you know, certify my individual because I'll just go and get a job elsewhere. But they might have gone anyway, right? I think that's the thing. And I think that if you create a community of learning within an organization, right? So we see companies that provide opportunities like Lunch and Learn Fridays, you know, to get these people together and build communities. And I think that when builders are like-minded and sharing and creative and, you know, you're always going to have better retention. It provides a better environment overall for the organization.
You know, in the intro, we mentioned that technology is the third largest sector in the U.S. economy now. It employs 12 million people and 10% of the workforce. Where do you see the sector heading over the next decade or so?
Well, I don't see it slowing down for sure, right? I think we're busier and busier as time goes on. I thought COVID would slow things down, but it certainly hasn't. In fact, it's actually accelerated, and we're getting better at making sure we have programs available. So I think that technology is going to continue to innovate rapid pace, whether it's AWS or any other technology firm. But I think we as an organization, a training organization, are trying to do that as well, like be more innovative, get smaller bites of information out, make sure that we're using the best technology to engage our customers. I think it makes organizations stronger, right? It makes you think differently about the business. And I think we're going to continue to do that. You know, we're going to have to, right, as technology evolves.
You partner with more than 1,000 universities. What are you looking for in a partner institution?
For us, it's like we want to make sure that we're providing value to the university and to the students. Long term, you know, the cloud skills shortage is tens of millions of people's today, right? We have to be thinking about what it's going to be like in 5 years and in 10 years, right? You know, we're just looking for partnership. We're looking for universities that are innovative and trying. I think a lot of universities are trying to provide education to their students, and we want to be working with them side by side and providing creative solutions. You know, COVID provided an incredible opportunity. We didn't have a lot of our content digitized for universities, and now we're doing that, right? And what we've seen is huge adoption of that digital content within the universities.
How do you deal with the issue of competition with higher education? Often there is resistance to training by, you know, educational institutions that consider themselves a focal point for humanities and liberal arts. And so how do you bridge the gap?
We do see it at times. And when we do, we train and position education as an enhancement to the curriculum that they offer, you know, helping to educate universities that these are the cloud skills that are needed in the marketplace. It actually adds value to their portfolio of offerings. Because at the end of the day, universities, they want the students employed, right, at the end of the day. And so providing critical, honed, and validated skills through certification is important. And so we are seeing, as you said, we're in more than 1,000 universities. We continue to get interest from other universities, and we're going to continue to partner with the universities that want to partner with us and expand our portfolio of course offerings and make sure that we're giving them, you know, the best content that we can, such that it makes our students successful.
Do you see an Amazon University on the horizon?
I think we're going to continue to partner with. There's a lot of really good universities across the globe, you know, universities, technical colleges, community colleges, you know, I think that they're doing a really great job. So we'll continue to partner with them. And then we'll continue to offer as much, you know, free training as we can through our own digital properties. We've also extended, we're partnering with organizations like edX and Coursera that have millions and millions of students of their own right. So you see us with digital universities, digital partnerships, traditional universities, technical colleges, and they're in the business of training, and we're going to partner the best we can with them.
We are speaking with Maureen Lonergan, Director of Global Training and Certification for Amazon Web Services. Support for this episode of CanDo is provided by Montana Rail Links, committed to safely delivering transportation solutions to their customers. Additional support comes from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And Parsons, Bailey & Latimer, a regional law firm with national expertise representing the interests of Montana entrepreneurs and businesses. More information at ParsonsBailey.com. You know, Maureen, as you describe how technology sort of is pervasive in almost every sector, banking, you know, universities, yeah, everywhere, it really is a tool that every company, every for-profit, not-for-profit, every industry uses as part of their repertoire of tools to improve their business operation. Is this really a fourth industrial revolution? You know, or we are looking at a whole new chapter in our civilization where technology drives everything?
Yeah, I mean, I think technology is not going to slow down. I don't see it slowing down. You know, I think it's growing, it's increasing, and it's changing the way we communicate with each other. It's changing the way we do business. It's changing, you know, pretty much everything. And I think as such, we're really trying to think about what does that mean for training and education. People are learning different than they used to learn. You know, my nieces and nephews coming out of school are used to learning in a different way. And I think we have to continue to think about what are the products that we're putting out on the marketplace and how are they consumable for audiences kind of from cradle to grave, right? You know, we've got people that are 70-year-old that have been certified, and we have, you know, 14-year-olds that have been certified. So how do they want to learn? How do they want to engage with us? And I think we're going to have to get really creative as technology continues to speed up and our customers are using it in new and innovative ways.
The speeding up is very daunting to some people. Some people are excited. They just want more and more and newer and faster and faster. But some people are taken back by all of that. And, you know, as you see the rise of artificial intelligence and machine learning, how do we mitigate society's biases, particularly those people that are a little bit in awe or intimidated by the invasion of technology into every part of their lives?
Yeah, I think, from an AWS perspective, what I would say is we try and look at, you know, how do we educate people on the most foundational level things such that it helps to inform and educate them, right? So if you're new to cloud, we have a cloud practitioner class, right? And that's like anybody could take that, right? I joked earlier today that my dad keeps asking me, what exactly is AWS and what does it do? And, you know, and I tell him, take the cloud practitioner class, you know what I mean? So he's going to take it. He committed to me yesterday that I'm going to take the class and see what this is all about because I find it fascinating. And I thought, God, that's wow. I think I've done my job now. So it's providing people information. You know, we have people are curious or have questions about AIML. We've got foundational level training, gives them a better understanding of what it is and how it can be applied. I think you have to have an interest in learning. You know, you're not going to bring everybody around, but I think in general, we see that people are genuinely curious and it's up to us to build products that people want to consume and continue to keep them engaged. So we're going to continue to do that.
The COVID pandemic has fostered a shift to working from home.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's a future for the office? And if there is a future for the office, what does it look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be a future for the office, right? I think, you know, companies are going to make the decisions that they make. But what I think is interesting is it's probably going to look a little different than it does today, right? But I think there's a place for collaboration. I mean, I certainly miss it, right? I've been working from home for the last 8 months, and I would love to bring my team into the office and have conversations or, you know, fly to my team in Tokyo and meet with them. So I think it'll be a blend. You know, I think, you know, companies are moving fast to make sure that virtual capabilities are in place. So I think it'll be interesting. I don't know if any one company will take a particular path, but I do see it as a blend. And I think technology is going to, whether we work in the office or whether we work remotely, is going to be kind of the backbone of what that is.
You know, and the follow-up question to that is, you know, based on my business experience, my greatest success and greatest ability to move an agenda forward was face-to-face.
Yeah.
And that's changed a little bit. I don't know. You know, business is based on relationships. And yeah. I'm not sure, and I wanted your opinion, I'm not sure, you know, digital relationships are the same as, you know, in-person relationships.
Yeah, I think you have to be more intentional about it. You know, I find that with, you know, with even with my team, with the customers that I work with, you have to be very, right now with customers, instead of setting up a meeting, I'll say, hey, do you want to meet for coffee or have a meeting over lunch or something, just so it seems a bit more social and it kind of isn't just business as usual. So, I mean, those are some of the things I'm doing, and I'm certainly always looking, you know, to the teams that work for me at, you know, how are they doing? I actually just presented on a call yesterday with them, just kind of a fireside chat with one of my teams, and they had just completed chair yoga exercise. They had a 3-day meeting and they had done a virtual escape room. And so I think people are getting super creative about how they, you know, can do stuff outside of work, but still in a virtual environment.
But there is a little bit more, even though we're casually dressed at home, there's a little bit more formality talking on a screen,
yeah,
which can be recorded, you know, yeah, and then just having, you know, the water cooler conversation at the office or, you know, interacting with a client, you know, face to face. Plus, in your past, you took years off as an adult from your, yep, normal work world to do something, yep, else. Would you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, so I a couple of different times, probably the most meaningful one to me was I took a year off to go to Africa and teach school late a little bit later in my career and just needed a break. And you know, I went to Mozambique and taught preschool and coached soccer and taught English in the villages and lived in a hut with no electricity. And, you know, it was a really, really great experience. And certainly one that I've taken with me as I've really thought through how I want to show up in the world and what I want to build and how I want to lead. AWS has amazing technology and can't tell you how bright my team is. And what it's allowed us to do with that experience helped to shape the way that I think about, you know, we should be looking at anybody as an opportunity to train. We should be making sure we're removing barriers. We think education is the great equalizer. I say it to my team all the time, and we need to figure out how to provide it to anybody who wants it. So I think that experience, stepping out of your career for a while, was for me personally, was the best thing I've ever done in my life. You know, you're teaching in a village where they have, you know, wireless or Wi-Fi in the trees, and it changes the way you think about, you know, we've got some programs going on in South Africa and Nigeria, and with those limitations, how do you think about serving up education and helping those economies with education? So
you taught in a small village. You're now at AWS, one of the larger companies in the world. Has big tech gotten too big? I mean, you have a good way to compare this. You were teaching and educating in a very, you know, small village, and now you're training globally. Are these companies too big to really have the kind of effect they need to have?
Well, from my perspective, I think that the technology has allowed us to educate, right? I mean, working in a small village, you know, I didn't have any of the tools. Now I have as many tools as I want in my back pocket, right? And so leveraging the technology that we have and having the ability to work in a cloud environment where it's easy to, you know, easy to access for almost everybody, for me, it's a game changer.
Maureen, what are the barriers that need to be addressed in cloud skill education?
I think it's just access to that education. I think it's making sure that we're providing education early on, K through 12 space, helping kids to learn what technology can do and inspiring them to pursue STEM degrees or at least use cloud technology in their careers, whether it's a STEM degree or they end up being a marketing professional. It can help anyone. So the way I think about it is when we're building something, you know, what are we building? Why are we building it? Who is it for? You know, how do we get the most users that we can? How are we going to get into communities that don't have access to technology? You know, sometimes that's the communities that don't have access to technology. How do we build the right partnerships? It's a combination of things, but I think the number one thing is access and think about, you know, what are the best ways to do that. And I think, thankfully, technology helps, right? Cloud helps, and we're going to continue to invest in building out platforms that allow us to scale to people that wouldn't otherwise have access to education.
Lastly, what advice do you have for someone who's seeking a career change and is considering an IT opportunity?
I would say, you know, we have this great leadership principle at Amazon. It's called Learn and Be Curious. Happens to be my favorite one. Look at what's available. You know, it's specifically for AWS, we have such a rich environment of learning opportunities and programs. You know, if you're at a university, look for the AWS training programs. If you, you know, just want to find out more about us, you can go to AWS training and look at more than 500 courses. If you access education through companies like edX or Coursera, we've got some really cool programs out there as well. So I think it's, you know, have a curiosity, go out there and find it. And the other thing is I think really seek out people that are in these roles and find out how exciting it is and how you can really transform it, your career and become this amazing builder and do some innovative things with technology. I think that would be my advice.
Maureen, it's been a pleasure talking with you today and you sharing your thoughts and vision for the future of the work that you're doing. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Arnie. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. I appreciate your listening to Can Do. produced by Peter Hoag and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guest contact information and content from all our shows. Listen next time we explore how to manage your investments and personal finances in this unpredictable economic climate. I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you good health and prosperity.